Sometimes in football, you need just a little more for that first down. You need to be pushing the pile. And on our new podcast, we'll give you that extra effort.
I'm Mike Renner, a longtime NFL analyst who helped develop player evaluation systems that every NFL team uses to this day.
And I'm Kyle Long, former all-pro offensive lineman in the NFL who knows a thing or two about getting people moving.
You'll get expertise from inside the trenches and behind the tape for 4 episodes every week. So make sure you download and subscribe to the Pushing the Pile podcast on the Audio.
Yeah. Gator, given the amount of turnover in both Ann Arbor and East Lansing, and given that it's a lot of new growing pains shouldn't be unexpected. It would be absolutely awesome if their teams just hit the ground running and everybody hit the ground running and there was never any hiccups whatsoever. But both Michigan and Michigan State experienced some hiccups in week one. We talked a little bit about Michigan to open the show. Your thoughts on the Spartans on Friday night?
Well, obviously, the offense left a lot to be desired. They're the same, I think, some similar issues. The offensive line, it's going to be a work in progress, but I think I have confidence it's going to be better. It's going to get better as the year goes on. I just think they're going to be better coached. And I still like the talent at running back, even though Nathan Carter didn't have a great game with 19 carries and 48 yards, but the ground game did get 179 yards. But the two interceptions for Aiden Childs, they're in the red zone. You don't like to see that. They passed up on points that would put them up by 2 scores in the fourth quarter. I don't understand that move at all. That bothered me. But what bothered me most was something that, and it bothered me at the moment, but as time has gone by now, it's the most correctable thing ever, and that's the personal fouls and the dumb penalties. He had 140 yards in penalties, all right? It was ridiculous. Now, how much of that was predicated by having a quarterback that refused to, have his helmet tight enough or that slid to the absolute last second? There were a couple legit hits that were laid on him, but, there's some other ones I'm not so sure about, and I hate the way that they go about with the targeting and the quarterback sliding in particular. But nonetheless, it's 140 yards. That's ridiculous. You can't have that. And somehow they were able to overcome that and still win the game 16-10. But offensively, Michigan State did not look very good. They had the explosive play with Lynch Adams going for 63 yards with the carry up the middle. But besides that, it was a bit of a struggle. What I did like was that they were taking chances downfield. Aiden Childs is gonna take some time here. I mean, he's 18 years old, 19 years old, whatever he is. It's gonna take a little bit of time, but they're not afraid to throw the ball downfield. I was surprised they didn't throw the ball to Jack Velling all that much. I think they only threw it him two or three times. He had the one catch. That's the tight end transfer from Oregon State that is all Pac-12 a year ago. So I was hoping for bigger and better things from him. But I guess that's the negative. The positive, Michigan State's defense looked really, really tough. They had 7 sacks. They had 10 tackles for loss. They got them from – it wasn't just one guy getting them. Everybody pitched in and played their role. They had a couple of interceptions in the game as well, and they looked really stout defensively. They gave up less than 3 yards per carry on the ground. Offensively, the quarterback threw for less than 50% passing in the game, and they only gave 116 yards passing as well. The defense looked very good, but they didn't come out of it unscathed. There were 3 injuries to the team that looked like they're longer-term injuries. A couple guys might miss the season, and that's really unfortunate. From week one, you already have attrition.
Yeah, and Maryland that they got this weekend. Ugh. Maryland looked really good. Now, they're playing UConn, but Billy Edwards was Tagovailoa's backup last year. He's kind of a short yardage guy. They bring it at the goal line, but he looked like he could really sling it. And they got the 2 receivers, Felton and Prather. And I've always been a Roman Hemby fan. Maryland's an 8-point favorite in this game. That's not going to be an easy task in week two. Just like Michigan, they got to play better what happened in week one wasn't going to be good enough.
Not at all. And they could ratchet up big time with who they play this week. Maybe before the season began, you thought, oh yeah, Maryland, they can take out Maryland. No Tagovailoa. I mean, they're changing things over as well. And then Maryland beats up on the Fighting Orlovskys 50-7. I mean, 50 points. That's I don't care who you're playing. That's going to be it's a nice little notch in your belt there. I suspect they're not going to score 50 against Michigan State, but this is going to be a real test for the Spartans, a defense that's already banged up heading into week two, but taking on a quarterback that just got done for throwing for over 300 yards. They had a rushing game that ran for nearly 250 in the game. Maryland's not going to be an easy out for teams.
No. No, they're not. And after that, Boston College last night, they're not going to be easy.
No, I think Boston College is going to present a lot of problems with teams. Yep. They got the dual threat quarterback who's awfully athletic in Castellanos. And what's that?
Or Florida State's dreadful.
Florida State might be, and yet there were times and they looked like a very competent football team.
I know.
That just couldn't
tackle. Their opening drive against Georgia Tech made you think that they were going to roll in that game in Ireland and be everything that they hoped, you know, the revenge tour and all that stuff they talked about. And then it feels like it's been struggling ever since. But that's beside the point. So Spartans, number one thing that I said yesterday, the number one thing to clean up going into next week was penalties. Because I think about the things that should be the easiest to clean up that can make a massive difference. And yeah. I went with penalties.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, that is the easiest thing for them to clean up. And I mean, 140 yards, you can't have that. And they were, much of those yards were attributed to the quarterback play from Florida Atlantic. Fancher, the quarterback, like I said, he's got it down to a science of when to time that slide. And it's the last possible second. And you have to be aware of that. It's up to the defense to make sure that they counter that by not doing something stupid and hit them late or target them in the helmet when you're hitting them. You got to stop it. You got to be disciplined. It just, you can't have it. Now, in the end, I'm curious how Cam Fancher's feeling today because he got drilled. And at the end of the game, it looked like he really had a hand issue. So maybe he's not going to play like that the rest of the season. But for the first game, it didn't look good for Michigan State because of all the penalties. But yes, that is the easiest thing to clean up. It's discipline.
Feedback coming into the Carson Anderson inbox. Michigan has Stephen Threaton, Nick Sheridan at quarterback again, huh? When did Rich Rod come back? That's from Joe in St. Clair Shores. And then another one, Michigan loses by 21 this week. No quarterback. That's from Nick. I really don't think it was the quarterback was the biggest problem. I think there were some timing issues in the pass game that come with time, but I really don't. I think he's got the arm. He's got mobility that they didn't use at all. They didn't run him at all. There were throws that his receivers turned and didn't find the ball for some reason. Two in particular I thought should have been caught. There was another drop by Colston Loveland. Look, he's not JJ, but at the end of the day, I didn't come away from game one thinking they had a quarterback issue yet. I think there's stuff that needs to get better, but I actually like some of the throws he made. But there you go. Another one here. Gator Tesla was phenomenal. Sounded better than ever. Find a way to see them live. It's worth it. That's from Jason in Plymouth.
Yeah, I saw Tesla probably 6 months ago. They were at Soundboard at Motor City, which is one of the best venues you can see any band play. I love it there. It's awesome. I was planning to go Friday night, but like I said, my buddy plays in a band that I wanted to see. Somebody got COVID, so they canceled their performance, and I'm like, I just don't feel like going. But yeah, Tesla puts on a great show. They're a fun band. A lot of hits.
So you weren't just going to go anyway when your buddy's band canceled?
At that point, I just kind of like, all right, I don't feel like staying. Yeah, it was a long week, Doug.
Yeah, I hear you. Fair enough.
To stay home was fine on Friday night.
If Saturday was indicative of our offense this year, two things are true. This is a 7-win Michigan team at best, and Sherrone Moore better be on the hot seat. He had 8 months to develop an offensive line and quarterback, and this is what he trots out, and he can't pretend it's because of the portal. These quarterbacks and wide receivers are all homegrown. Wow. That is a quick trigger on the hot seat. Man's still undefeated when he's been the head coach, but that is a rather quick trigger on the hot seat. However, I think that they have some stuff that they do need to clean up. And I do have some faith that the O-line coach that had the Joe Moore offensive line kind of knows what he's doing and will be able to help with Grant Newsom, who's the position coach, to get this thing sorted out.
Well, I guess the question is, will they be able to do it quickly enough where Saturday's game ends up? I mean, it's a tough task against Texas.
It is.
It's a really good football team. It looks like they're humming along offensively, and they've got the veteran quarterback there. It's a tough task. But hey, Michigan's got one of the best defenses in the country. That didn't change. That was still on full display. And I suppose if you didn't see that, then you weren't looking close enough. But if you want to complain about the offense, it's worth complaining about.
Yeah, there's stuff that needs to get cleaned up for sure. But good news is they practice between games.
If your day sounds like...
We need the report ASAP.
You deserve Modelo. If you've persevered through... You deserve this rich golden lager with a crisp but refreshing taste. Or if you overcame...
Two more.
You deserve this ice cold reward. Modelo, the markable fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Sometimes in football, you need just a little more for that first down. You need to be pushing the pile. And on our new podcast, we'll give you that extra effort.
I'm Mike Renner, a longtime NFL analyst who helped develop player evaluation systems that every NFL team uses to this day.
And I'm Kyle Long, former All-Pro offensive lineman in the NFL who knows a thing or two about getting people moving.
You'll get expertise from inside the trenches and behind the tape for four episodes every week. So make sure you download and subscribe to the Pushing the Pile podcast on the Odyssey.
They do have the opportunity between games.
And they still have to play the game.
Yeah, they did.
That has to happen as well.
Also true.
How about I just want to give props here. Iowa offense?
Yeah.
Hey, how about that?
Yep.
Look at that. As a team, they scored 40 points.
Yep.
Cade McNamara threw for 251 and three touchdowns.
Didn't they have more wide receiving touchdowns in game one than they had each of the last 2 years?
Probably. I said to a friend of mine, you could have found like a four-game stretch last year. Well, I'm not sure Iowa scored 40 points combined in a four-game stretch. And here they scored 40 in the one game to start the season. Good.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Knorr sides and bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Knorr taste combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit Knorr.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.
Sometimes in football, you need just a little more for that first down. You need to be pushing the pile. And on our new podcast, we'll give you that extra effort.
I'm Mike Renner, a longtime NFL analyst who helped develop player evaluation systems that every NFL team uses to this day.
And I'm Kyle Long, former All-Pro offensive lineman in the NFL who knows a thing or two about getting people moving.
You'll get expertise from inside the trenches and behind the tape for four episodes every week. So make sure you download and subscribe to the Pushing the Pile podcast on the Odyssey app.